Okay, ready?
Yeah, let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the Hen House. I'm Michaela.
And I'm Emily.
And today we're talking about changes. If you... if you were listening to our last episode, this will make a lot of sense. And if you haven't listened to our last episode, you should go listen to it.
Pause this. Go play that one. Yeah. It's only like 25 minutes.
Normally they're not linear, but this one would be...
This one actually... It would make more sense to why we're talking about
changes.
So this
is episode 15, I believe. So you need to listen to episode 14.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what we named it. We just came up. Anyways.
Anyways.
The one before this. Yeah. Go listen.
Changes. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah. It's going to be more chatting.
Yeah. More chatty about life changes and how they ultimately change us.
Puberty. I'm just kidding.
We each had to pick a story. Emily just picks puberty.
Yeah. One day I woke up and I was 12.
Well, kids.
Just kidding. There is no censor warning for this. I'm not talking about puberty.
So it might be a little bit more emotional than our regular episodes.
True.
Talking about a little bit more personal stuff, but it's going to be good. So how this is going to work. Each of us have picked a topic of a big change in our life, and we're just going to talk about it and we're going to go through it. And then we'll kind of reflect together at the end of each story or during the story of how it's changed us. And so this isn't going to be the, like how it's going to work all the time. This is just for this episode, how it's going to work.
This is the conversation we're going to be having today.
Yeah.
Essentially. So.
This is the conversation.
This is what we'll be talking about.
So who wants to go first? Do you want to go first?
Sure.
I feel like I'm always the one to.
Sure,
to
I can go first.
Emily's going to go first. You're on the hot seat now.
I'm on the hot seat. Okay. So hello, my name is Emily. I'm just
kidding. Hi, my name's Emily and I. No.
And I don't like change. Okay. So to give kind of a background context, because I'm going to be talking about a changing career, essentially. I went to school, I went to post-secondary right out of high school. I went to Algonquin for occupational therapy assistant and physiotherapy assistant, and it's a two-year program. Basically, you learn about all the muscles, bones, body, how the body works, all that stuff. Also,
how long did that take?
So it's a two-year program.
Oh, sorry, you said that.
No, it's okay.
I was disciplining my dog.
It should be a three-year program, but it's two.
Okay.
It was, like, very intense. And do you remember that strike that happened?
Yes. I was part of a university strike.
So the college strike. So it was in my second year for the first, like, we went to school for, like, 3 weeks. And then, like, the next, like, four were off for it. So, and then we had to, like, play catch up. It was crazy. Anyways, so I was always really interested. I played a lot of sports growing up. So I I had gone to physio and, like, I was interested in that kind of, like, career, I guess. But I didn't want to be the full physiotherapist. Like, I didn't want to go get my master's. I don't love
Which you've had to take university and then...
Yeah, you would have had to take a four-year undergrad and then go to physio school, which is 2 years. Or, again, if you want to be an occupational therapist, same thing. You take a four-year undergrad or you could fast track it and do three or whatever.
Yeah.
And then do your post-grad of 2 years.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I was like, absolutely not. I'm not in it for that. I want to, like, work with people. I don't necessarily want to be the one diagnosing the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine to treat the problem. Like, that was kind of, like, my mindset around it. Anyways, so I went to school. I graduated in 2018 from Algonquin and quickly found a job at a physio clinic. And then I worked there up until COVID started. So the beginning of 2020. And
did it close then?
So
they were
just
like, we're not taking patients.
They did a pretty big layoff. They laid off like half the clinic staff. So I basically was jobless at the beginning of COVID, like a lot of other people. And then a old placement reached out to me being like, hey, somebody just went on maternity leave. We remembered you. We would like you to come back. Oh, are you working? I was like, actually, I just got laid off like 3 weeks ago. I would love a job. Like,
yeah.
And I had loved this placement. It was at a long-term care facility. Okay. So I love hanging out with old people. I think they're so cute.
So what avenues can you take from?
Yeah.
OTA, PTA.
That's what OTAPTA.
Okay.
You can pretty much work in a hospital, clinics, privately run things. Like you can do like home care and stuff.
Okay.
You can work in nursing homes, retirement homes. You can do work with like athletes. That's okay. A really big one. We had a guy who worked with like the Ottawa, what is it, Fusion, the soccer.
Oh, okay.
He was like on staff with them and stuff. You can do all sorts of things. You can work in neuro. Wow.
So anybody that needs help, like moving like their body and regaining strength in some
way. Like even if it's like a sports injury, if it's a work injury, if it's a long time injury, whatever. There's always somebody to help you. Anyways, and so essentially you go get diagnosed by the physio and then the physio comes up with a treatment plan.
Okay.
And then as the physio assistant, we carry out the treatment plan. So when I got a job at the long-term care home, I had started, it was kind of like the end of April, I guess, in 2020, like right as like COVID was happening and stuff. So that was like a huge thing, like having to go work and go to work when everybody was at home. Traffic was like awesome. There was nobody on the road.
Like sometimes it's easy to forget the whole COVID, like people just blur it out. But like long-term care facilities were like strictly locked down. Like it was very an intense situation for long-term care facilities. So like you went from a nice clinic when no COVID to like the most secure
lockdown
intense like place you could.
You're so right. Like we'd go in, we'd have to like fully like hand sanitize, put on the mask or whatever, and then go and get our temperature taken because they wanted to like make sure that
did
we weren't spiking.
Did they do it orally or did they do it like with the little gun
thing? They did the ear gun thing at first, and then people were coming out with like the one that points at your forehead or your wrist.
I always wonder how accurate those actually are.
I don't know because I run hot anyways.
Yes, yeah.
So I would be at like 36.9 and that, but like everybody's
like sometimes I'd visit my grandma and they would like I had the heat on in the car and
so
I'd be warm and I was dressed in like nice warm clothes and they'd be like, you need to stand outside and cool off for a second. I'm like, what?
I don't have a fever, I'm okay.
Like anyways, I've always wondered how accurate those were. Okay, so you had to like sanitize
do all that anyways. So it was like this whole thing, but it was so worth it because at the end of the day I was hanging out with old people, I was getting them up and walking, I was maintaining their mobility. I was like we kind of would joke, we're like, oh, we're doing like fake stuff, like fake physio or whatever, like because some people were just so far physically gone that there was like it was more just to make like the family happy, to make them comfortable, that kind of thing. So there was a physiotherapist and then three assistants. So the physio would go and do like assessments and stuff, and then he would create the treatment plan, and then every day we'd go and see like 30 people like between the three of us. And keep in mind, like they're like up to 15 minute appointments with people, so
now you're dealing with PPE that you have to switch probably,
or if anybody's on isolation, but they just like they're like a new admission, and so we have to get a baseline for them. So it was like going in a PPE, and then we sometimes if a unit would go on outbreak for even if it wasn't COVID or if it was whatever, and we'd have to be like, okay, well, we can't go to that unit anymore. So there was like four units at the home that I worked at.
Yeah.
So then sometimes three of them would be on outbreak, so we could only go on one unit. And like if only like 10 people are on physio, you see 10 of them all in the morning, and then what are you doing in the afternoon?
Right.
Anyways, so I worked there. I loved my job. I loved it. This was before Stefan and I got married. So I was just, you know, I started out, I was there, I was single, you know, just working, grinding, doing the thing. And then Stefan and I started dating at the beginning of 2021. And then I continued working still. We got married in 2021 in November. So Like, I know that's quick for people who are listening. We were friends before, it's fine. And then Christian couples. And then, so then I continued to work there for a whole nother year after being married. And so, but then I was living in Carleton Place and then commuting pretty much all the way to Barrhaven.
Yeah.
So it was about 45 minutes one way in summertime. And the
traffic probably started to get a little bit busier because
COVID was lifting. People were starting to go back to work. And I was like, people, I had such a great commute. So it was like that change. And then, so that's kind of like a little bit of background of like what I used to do. I don't do that anymore. Stefan was like noticing that I'd come home and I'd be so tired. And like, I was just like, cause it's like emotionally exhausting too.
Yeah.
Like you're caring for people and a lot of people.
Yeah. I was going to say like the, just from like listening to you talk, like maybe the clinic was a little bit more laid back.
Oh, 100% it was.
But this, you got to see, like in the long-term care facility, maybe not like immediate progression, but you got to see maybe like a mental shift in the patients, or like there was probably a little bit more immediate gratification in that job, but also like with that immediate gratification of like seeing an old person like walk around the home comes with a lot of like sadness too, right? 100%. Because at one point they're just like not going to be able to walk around anymore.
Yep.
And all of the good things that you saw in them are just declining. And then, so yeah, I don't know. It's just an observation. I don't really know if I have a question.
No, no. And so it's totally true that way. And then it's totally true the other way of you're so used to seeing them walk around and then you see them decline. And then, so there's like both. Cause a lot of people, there was one lady who like, absolutely bounced back. She like, I forget what happened to her, but she like, she was like not walking anymore, and then we kept working with her, and then she was graduated to walking on her own again, like with a walker, of course. But like, so there was that, but then there's also the side of like, oh, if somebody falls, breaks a hip, and then we continue to see them, but like they just don't get strong enough, because like these people are old. Like some people are like there that are like in their late 90s, like
they're there to like they're not going to get
better, unfortunately.
Better.
No, right? It's kind of like the, is everything okay?
Can you? I lost my headphones.
Oh.
There we go. I'm back now. Oh, sorry. So I saw Stefan change a dial and I'm like, oh, it's probably because I'm in three. Do you want me just to change? Okay. Sorry. I just all of a sudden couldn't hear anything. Like, excuse-
Hello?
Did I just lose my hearing?
Anyways, so... anyways, throughout all that, it was very emotional. And so Stefan was noticing that I was getting like, I don't know, like almost dreading going to work, even though I loved my job. So it was like this weird kind of like balance of like, I was sad and I was like getting stressed to go to work and like anxious and stuff. And then like, I would be like, oh my gosh, like people are counting on me. Like, you know, and like, I kind of felt that weight of it too. So in probably August of 2022, earlier than that, it was like beginning of July. It was like Canada Day.
Yeah.
He asked me, he was like, hey, would you want to come work at Parkit, in the kitchen with my mom? Like we've hired a bunch of people. She's getting like swamped and like, she only had like people help for like short periods of time.
Right.
So he was, they were like, we're looking for somebody more permanent. I think you'd really like it. And I was like, oh, I do love cooking. And I had gone like once or twice to like help out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, people are like excited to see you. And like, like when I was working at the long-term care home, I would show up and people would be like, ugh, the physio girl. Yeah. Like, you know, so it was kind of like depressing that way. Like, oh, nobody wants to see you. But then like at the food place, like people were wanting to like see you and they're so thankful to see you and like all this stuff. So I was like, I don't know. Like I didn't go to school for that. Like I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be there. Like, I don't know if I'm like, if God wants me there. Like I feel like I'm still supposed to be a light to the people in the nursing home. So I thought about it for like almost 3 months, like, mm-hmm. prayed about it. Like, Stefan and I talked lots about it. I talked to, like, his mom a lot. I talked to my parents. And then finally one day at the beginning of September, I made the decision to quit my job. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And I think this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, I kept hearing, I wasn't hearing no from mm-hmm. God. Like, I was hearing, like, yeah, like, this, I've opened this opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so I ended up giving my job a whole month's notice because I was like, I wanted them to be able to hire somebody. And I wasn't like looking to leave. Like I wanted to leave on good terms and stuff. So, and then at the end of the first week of November was my last day. And then I've been working at Parkit ever since. Now every Thursday we cook a big family meal for all the employees and for side shift. And they come over. They come over too. So we cook for roughly, it's like 37 people, I think it is. Yeah. For recipe wise, we just go to 40 people. It's easier to do 10 onions instead of like 7.25 onions. Like, anyways, and so I've like noticed a huge shift in my like mood and energy. Mm. So I've been working there for just under a year now. And like, just, I feel like, as like dramatic as it is, like I kind of feel like I have like my life back in a way. Like I'm able to like volunteer at youth group and like go to a Bible study and then not feel so dead at the end of the day. And just because like when you're like giving yourself and like caring for elderly whose maybe families can't come in or don't want to come in. Yeah. So I like felt that deeply and I was like, I need to spend time with these old people. Like I need to spend time with them. So it was like, just like so draining, but like so rewarding at the same time. So, anyways, I kind of feel like I have like my energy back and like all this stuff. So career change was a really big thing. Never ever did I think that I would be working in a kitchen, but it's like the best job ever. We're serving the employees. We're serving, in a sense, like the community.
Yeah.
We're creating this atmosphere where people can come and sit and chat. Maybe departments that don't necessarily talk with each other get to talk, and like just kind of like facilitating that around food. And like, God created food for a reason. It's a beautiful thing. It brings people together. Like, and just to be able to share like a big family meal with like 37 people or whatever is so rewarding. Like, it's, I'm tired at the end of the day, but it's like a good tired, like, oh, I like fed these people and like heard so-and-so and so-and-so talking and it was a good conversation, you know, like where they wouldn't have talked before.
Yeah.
So career change was a really big change in my life for, I guess I was like 23 at the time.
Yeah.
So it was like, never ever did I think that would be something I would do. So change is scary, but it's good. And it took me a long time to decide. Yeah. Prayed about it a lot.
Isn't it funny though, like how I think this happens a lot for a lot of people where you go into school and you take something and you're so like hell bound on like doing what you need to do and or what you went to school for. And like there is part of that, right? Like you spend a lot of time and a lot of money doing that and you feel kind of like a service to yourself. Like if I don't give it a go, then
it was a waste of time.
Yeah, what did I do this for?
Yeah.
But it's always so interesting to me how like those things can cross over so fluidly to something that like you chose that career or like that like the career job,
whatever.
For like helping people, bringing people together, feeling, you know, the gratification of like them and their family members being served. Like it's a care job, also serving job, right? Like you're serving those people. Mm-hmm. And so like all of those things that you loved about that job are now something in a completely different career that you never even thought of.
Yeah. I never really looked at that. So, wow, that's really cool. I've never thought about it like that. Like I do still feel like the same, like in a sense, like I'm still helping people in a different way. Like I'm not helping them by walking with them. I'm helping them by like feeding them and like facilitating,
serving
them
in a lot of different ways. And I just think it's so funny. Like I, like a lot of people ask me that question, like, well, you know, I went to school for this. I'm like, okay, but what are the things that you love about that? And what's holding you to that career? Like, you know? Yeah. I just like, I think a lot of people go through that kind of like, oh shoot, I went to school now. Yeah. I don't really want to do that.
And it, like, is okay to change your mind.
Yeah. And it's not your identity, right?
Yep. It's not. And I struggled with that for a bit. Like when I had mentioned that I got laid off from the clinic job, I was like, my identity was in my work. And like all this stuff, like, what am I now if I don't have a job, like in the field that I went to school for, blah, 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 blah. And so actually in those like 6 weeks that I was off before, like, and then I got the job and I started working at the long-term care home, I was like, really, like, God, like, show me my identity. Like, my identity is, like, in you. It shouldn't be in my work or in my career or anything like that. Especially because, like, in this society, it's always, like, very selfish in a way, like, career-driven, right? Like, so it really checked me into...
Yeah, well, and it just makes you think... Yeah, I think just think it's so cool that, like, those things that you loved... So like still remain.
Yeah. And it carries over. Yeah. It's super good. Anyway, so that was my story about change. It was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
A career change. Career change, and it spans over like 2.5 years.
Yeah. And it changed you for the better, right?
It did. Like it really
mentally,
did.
Yep. Physically.
Yep. All these things. Like,
and so it's scary, but on the other end of it, I mean.
It was, when I sent the email that I was resigning, we had just gotten back from the Richmond Fair. Okay. It was like early in September and I was like, I think I'm going to do it. Like, and Stefan was like, okay. And I have this thing where if things make me really anxious, I get sick. Like,
I remember.
So I literally hit send and I was like, I'm going to go throw up. And he was like, no, I'm like, I'm going to, and I ended up puking because it was such like a big deal. Like all this stuff, same thing like before my wedding. Like,
yeah. When you got engaged.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, my family is like, if it's a big deal, like, and if Emily hasn't puked, I guess it's not a big deal. It's the running joke in my family. So, anyways, that's kind of my story on change. Michaela, do you want to share yours?
I guess so. So my story on change, I mean, it happens, you know, funny enough, around the same age as yours, maybe a little bit earlier. So I had finished high school and I knew that I wanted to become a teacher. And so how you go to school to be a teacher is you have to take an undergrad, a 4 years undergrad, and then you have to do 2 years now in Ontario for Teachers College. At the time, though, they were transitioning, Ontario was transitioning from a concurrent program to a consecutive program. So concurrent would be like you can take some courses in your undergrad that would go towards your teacher's college, and the teacher's college is a little bit more condensed.
Yeah.
And consecutive is no, it's completely separate. You get two separate degrees.
Yeah.
And so the only school in Ontario that was offering a consecutive program still was Nipissing. In North Bay. And I had my mind set. I was like, I'm going to Nipissing. Mm-hmm. I love that school. We toured it. And I was like, that's where I need to go. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't want to go right away. I needed to save some money. And so I took a gap year between like the time that I had finished high school to the time I went away to school. So I like just, I forget what it's called, but you can, defer.
Oh, yeah. Your acceptance letter to the following year.
Yeah. So I applied and they accepted my application. I was like, okay, great. I'm just going to defer it for a year so I can do what I need to do. And I had entered into a internship with Stefan and Jake. Shout out Jake. And Lauren, who's now my husband. And it was in that time after high school and that kind of gap year that Lauren and I had got in together as an actual couple. Like Lauren and I had known each other
forever.
But it was in that kind of time that we had really started seeing each other more than friends. And so it was in that time. But I was still like, I deferred my acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, I guess I could have been like, no, I'm not going. But I would have had to go through the whole process of applying to universities again. And I had my mind set on Nipissing.
Yeah, you wanted that.
I really, really wanted to go. And so I was like set on it. I was like, I'm packing up my stuff. I don't care if I have to do long distance relationship with Lauren. I'm packing my stuff up and I'm going. And I did. Like I moved 4 hours away from the town and my family. That is basically all I've known since I've grown up. Like my family didn't move around. I was born and raised in Carleton Place. And it's a very small town. Not that small anymore.
No, not anymore.
At the time, it was a very small town. The very small high school, very small friend group. And I just packed up. I don't have a lot of belongings when you're...
No, when you're a teenager.
You're 18. But everything I owned, essentially.
Wow. And moved 4 hours
I moved there. 4 hours north.
Oh, my gosh.
And a lot of people were... like, when you go to university, a lot of people will stay in residence. Mm-hmm. And that's how you make friends, typically. But I didn't want to stay in residence. Nipissing's residents are great, okay? Like, they rank, like, number one, I think, in universities. Or maybe Western, I don't know. But they're very high ranking. They're beautiful. And, but I just didn't want that. I don't know why, but I just felt like, I just don't really want that. And so I like was shopping around to like rent rooms from people. And Lauren, my parents and I, we went up one weekend before I started school to see like all these different places I could rent. And I saw all these places and I was so discouraged. I was like, the final night we were there all weekend. And I was like, so discouraged. And I was like, I'm never like, I'm just going to have to apply to res. I can't find a house. And I found this one ad and I had called, or I had emailed her on Kijiji or something. I don't remember exactly, but she had called me and left a message and I was so discouraged. And I was like, I'm not even going to call her back. Like, I don't like, I'm just going to leave and I'm going to apply for residence. And she called me again and she was like urgent on the phone. She was like, listen, I know you're not here for a long time, but you can come. Like, I'm available anytime. Just stop by. And I was like, okay, I have to call this lady back.
Yeah.
So I called her back and I said, my maiden name is Hool. And I was like, yeah, this. She's getting some of my information. She's like, what? Your maiden name is Hool? And I was like, well, not my maiden name is, but at the time it was just my last name. She's like, your last name is Hool. And I was like, yep. And she's like, H-O. And she's like, no, you don't need to spell it. And I was like, what? And she's like, Hool's my last name too. And I was like, what? Like 4 hours away from my hometown. And she was like, we had an instant connection. She was an old lady. Sorry, Betty Jo. She wasn't actually that old. She probably was a little older than my parents, but she still had, she's very young in spirit.
Young and fun.
Yeah. And I saw her house and I walked in and she opened the door. And first of all, okay, there was like freshly baked goods filling the house. Green like
flag.
Smell.
Green flag.
And I walked in and I was like, if you know anything about me, I love just detail. Like, yes. I love how things are put together.
And shui.
Her house was this beautiful old home that sat on top of a hill looking over Lake Nipissing.
Oh, beautiful.
And inside the home was, like, original wood floors, but pristinely, like...
Oh.
How do you say like that they're
like kept?
Yeah, like she like brought back like the
restored.
Yeah, restored and like moldings beautifully restored and like arches that are original to the home and stained glass windows. And I'm just like, I will live here. I was like, I take me now.
Yeah. I'm on, bye dad.
I just, and so it really was such a God thing that like, she called me back and like persisted that I had come and I paid $600 a month.
That's awesome.
For a room of my own with my own bathroom. And this is the kicker, that she made all my meals.
Oh my gosh.
So I would just pick
Betty
things.
Betty Jo, I'm moving in now.
I picked things on the grocery list and she would buy them for me. Wow. And then she'd make dinners for me. Like I made my own breakfast.
It was
lunches.
Like room and board pretty much. Like she
literally
was...
just room and board.
That's awesome.
And she was widowed like recently, I think in the last 5 or 6 years when I went there. And so she had just invited students in that she felt like she could like had a good connection with, just to keep her company and like somebody to eat dinner with and somebody to take care of and make sure that they had a safe and like place to be. And like I felt so at home like at Betty Jo's house. And like so the change like of moving away from my family's home and not being there for the first time in my life ever, 4 hours away, like sure you get homesick, but like people would tell me, my friends at school would tell me like horror stories of their residence. Yeah. And I'm just like, I can sit outside on my deck.
Yeah.
In my patio furniture with some homemade lemonade from Betty Jo and not even have a care in the world.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And like my parents would come and my friends would come and stay and she'd always like make a bed for them. And like, it was just so kind precious. And so generous. And she made that change just like so homey.
Yeah. She made it that transition yeah. into that new stage of life for you. So much so better. So
nice. And I stayed with her for the 2 years that I was at Nipissing. I ended up transferring back to Ottawa. That's another big change. But but yeah, I stayed with her for the 2 years. And it was such a fond, fond memory of yeah. like living with Betty Jo. And then the other thing that really helped me in that change too was finding a really good church. Mm-hmm. My mom was like, when we went up, she was like, and I pushed this too. She wasn't pushing it. I was like, I'd like when you guys come up with me for a couple weekends, if we could just try a bunch of different churches.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first church we tried, honestly. Like, we looked online, and this one, we walked in, and they were just starting, like, a young adults group, and they had a woman pastor and husband team.
Oh, nice.
So, man and woman pastor husband team, and she, Lisa, was part of the young adults, and, like, they literally made this change so much better to like having the people surround me. Like, I think they had meals once every 2 weeks or something, and so I would go and help Lisa cook. And she, like, if you know, whenever you tell like your story or whatever, she always comes up as such a huge part of mm-hmm. my life mm-hmm. and like development to my faith and like yeah. stuff like that. And so that church and Lisa specifically had like changed my life. And I think those 2 years in Nipissing and North Bay, like, I just would never be, I don't think I would be the same person I am today if I hadn't moved away.
Wow.
And Lauren and I did long distance. There was a lot of bad things about it, for yeah. sure. But for some reason, just, like, that change in location and, like, having the support system that I had mm-hmm. and the room to grow just made that change, that large change in my life so impactful.
Totally.
Like, for my whole life to yeah. come. Like, I'm sure I'll always remember those. Like,
that's awesome. I love it. Did you stay there between first and second year, like that summer, or did you come home in the summer?
I came home.
Okay, for yeah. like the 4 months.
Yeah. Because I had a job back here.
Right.
And so, like, there was nothing really tying me to stay there.
No, and then Lauren was here, and exactly. your parents were here and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So do you keep in touch with Betty Jo at all?
I should. I have her on Facebook, and I have her, I think I have her number. I went up there, like, I would go up there frequently, like maybe once a year or so. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my friends had moved away
right.
from North Bay, though I think some of them have moved back now. So maybe I'll
yeah.
hit her up. Yeah. But whenever I'm in the area, I'll send her a text, and she has a, I don't know, I think they're still just boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't know. I'll have to check it out. But she doesn't live in that house anymore. She moved in with Eugene, her boyfriend, who has his own house, and she made it beautified.
She brought all the, like, the beautiful decor and stuff.
Yeah, and she did a renovation. Like, the bathroom's beautiful, and she just, like, Betty Jo'd it. Like,
Betty Jo'd it?
I remember this one distinct memory where she had decorations up, okay? Like, cute fall decorations.
Oh, love fall decorations.
And there was pumpkins everywhere and leaves. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. And of course, when I went up there, it was fall because it was right. September. So yeah. fall had started and her decorations were out. And one morning, I had slept in because university. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I went to grab something in the fridge and I turned around. And literally, I'm not kidding, every single thing in that house, every single decoration had been changed out from fall to winter.
What?
Snowflakes. Everything. It was just completely changed. And it was so beautiful the way she did it. She'd hide it, like, in some, she had open glass shelving.
Oh.
And so she would, like, and she had her nice plates in there. So yes. she'd put decor, like, throughout there and on her fireplace mantle. And she'd put out her, take down her fall cups and put her winter cups. And then
I love that. I aspire to be Betty Jo.
I know. And then I was like, did you just change all these decorations? She's like, yeah, it's my winter decorations. And then same thing happened. I went to bed and I was like, okay. A couple months later, woke up before Christmas holidays and everything had changed from winter to Christmas.
Oh, those are two different things.
Oh my gosh.
There's snowmen and red and green. And
also, that must have felt so homey too.
So homey.
I love decorations like that.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like.
And she'd buy me childhood. Like Halloween candy.
She sounds so precious.
She did like a Easter egg hunt for me, actually.
Stop.
It was just so like those people that God really put those people in my life to be like, this is going to be such a hard change for you.
Yeah.
Like emotionally. And like I said, like without those supports, it literally like I got a new family
when I
moved there. And like, so yeah, it changed just the way I live. It changed me who I am. It changed the way I function now and like the person I've become.
It shaped you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really did. And if I hadn't had take that step of faith and really pushed, like pressed into that change mm-hmm. and been like, no, there's something good that's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have missed out a lot. Like, sure, it would have been fine here. Right.
But yeah,
but I think I would have missed out on a lot of joy and growth and yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that. I guess both of our stories were pretty good change, even though they were hard change. They both, I mean, it's not always like that, but at least today was.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess trusting in God is the moral of the story.
Yeah. Maybe our title for this one, Savannah, should be like Winter to Christmas.
Those are two different things. I like it. Well, that was good. Anyway, so that's kind of, that was our first episode of
something new.
The new normal.
Or it could be something new. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we could do that. Oh. I'm liking
we have so many titles now.
We do. This man's list is like, he's like typing away.
All right. Well, next time we don't know what we're doing yet.
Nope, but it'll be a surprise.
Surprise for you, surprise for us.
We love that.
But I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you guys so much for coming back and listening. And thank you for listening to our stories like those.
Yeah.
You know, like we've talked about like the farm and like you've talked about your personal stuff, but I've never shared any real personal stuff other that I'm married and stuff. Like, so this was kind of like the first one of talking about more life. So
yeah, exactly.
Anyways, I liked it. It was good. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you then.
Bye.